And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Good morning. Lots to get into today. Bucks split one over the weekend. We'll talk to Frank Madden, 8 o'clock. Packers coaching search continues. We'll talk to Michelle Bruton at 9:35. NFL playoffs, we're down to 4. And the baseball hot stove continues to just kind of sit there. Frames, on Friday, we were talking to people about what you want to see this weekend in the world of sports. Could be anything. So I'm going to go and bring that up and see what people said and see if it happened. Because there was a lot that happened, and there was a lot that could have been good or a lot that could have been bad. Mine was that I wanted to see the Packers make it official with Mike Pettine. That happened about noon on Friday, or a little thereafter, when Matt LaFleur confirmed it on a radio interview with Adam Schein on Mad Dog Radio. So that happened. Mike Pettine is your defensive coordinator still. I believe yours was you wanted to see the Bucks split. That did not occur.
I wanted to see the Bucks sweep.
Sweep, yeah.
Yeah,
they
split.
The two, they did split. You wanted to see them win 2 of 2.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah,
no.
Right.
Didn't get the job done. But, I mean, they didn't have Giannis on Friday night. And, you know, I was telling you on over the week or Friday, I said, you know, it's just not a given. You know, with Giannis, it would have been tough, too. You know, going into Washington, but they didn't have Giannis, so they had one arm tie behind their back. But then they bounced back. They did what they had to do against Atlanta. Atlanta's not a very good team. You know, gave them some trouble early on, but then they ended up winning the game by 19 points. So, you know, 1-1, but overall, the all-pitcher, Bart, I'll still take 2 of 3 on a road trip.
Yeah, it was a good road trip for them, and if Giannis doesn't play on Friday, they don't win, as we saw. And that does lead into some questions, and that's why we'll talk to Frank Madden from Locked On Bucks today at 8, because without Giannis, who's the next guy to step up? There's been a lot of conversation lately about if Giannis doesn't play, or even when he's playing, who's the Robin to his Batman? Is it Bledsoe? Is it Middleton? Is it Malcolm Brogdon? Is it Lopez? And couldn't it be a combination of all of them? Is that fine? I do think there's a lot of people that still think for the Bucks to truly make a run, one of these guys has to step up to be the elite number two. And that hasn't happened yet, and I don't know. I honestly don't know if it will.
Which I'm fine. I mean, you had two guys have double-doubles yesterday. If Giannis doesn't play, that's akin to, like, Rodgers not playing for the Packers.
Right.
I mean, they're going into the game shorthanded. I mean, let's face it. Giannis Antetokounmpo is, if I realize that's a massive part of that team. You're missing, his 25 points he's going to get and all sorts of intangibles he's going to add to that game. So, but, I mean, Middleton played a good game yesterday. I thought Bledsoe played well. But as long as, Brooks Lopez, solid. As long as you have a bunch of different guys playing that Robin role, I mean, several guys, I'm fine to it. You know, you don't have that Scottie Pippen to a Michael Jordan on this team. But yeah, I don't know if you need that if you have so many other guys stepping up.
We'll talk more about that with you guys throughout the show today. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Again, on Friday, we sent out a tweet, and for tickets to Jimmy Buffett, we said, hey, what's the one thing you want to see happen this weekend? Aaron said, I want to see the Packers announce more coach hirings. Well, the Pettine thing was official, but that's pretty much it. They did have a lot of guys leave. David Ra, is it? Do we care? David Ra,
wide receiver coach.
David Ra,
yeah. All right. The deal with these
James
coaches,
Campen is leaving,
and they were okay with that. What's happening here is LaFleur wants to bring in his own guys. He's got these guys under 1 year contract. The Packers do, and the Packers are fine with it. They're gonna have to eat some money for if some of these guys aren't working next year. They're still gonna have to pay these guys, Joe Witt Jr., they're going to have to pay him if he's not working next year. 1 year deals that these guys are all under yet. So there's going to be a bill that's going to come to the Green Bay Packers that just comes with a coaching change. But, you know, some of these guys, some of these old guard Mike McCarthy guys, the Joe Witt Jr.'s and the James Campen, they're being shown the door right now. They're being asked to leave, or, hey, if you want to interview for another job, go ahead, because you're probably not going to be on our staff.
James Campen's a guy who has been the offensive line coach since 2005, and he's a good coach, and the guys love him, But when you're a new coach coming in, I mean, do you want a guy that's been there for 14 years, that's been with the old guard, that could possibly say, well, how, the way we used to do things is, sometimes you don't want those kind of guys.
No, that's the whole purpose.
Kind of doing his own thing anyway, so, and he's only been here for a year.
Yeah, he's only been here. He's not been one of the, if he was here since 2006, that might be a little different story. But, I mean, even like Philbin. Although Philbin, McCarthy inherited him from from Sherman. Philbin liked him and kept him on. And, he eventually was named him offensive coordinator. And, because he originally signed him on as the offensive line coach. But I don't think Philbin's coming back. And a lot of these other guys, too, are just, they want a new guy in there, which they have with LaFleur. And LaFleur just going, he has certain ideas how he wants to do things, and they're going to let him do it.
Len tweeted us on Friday, said, guys, I want to see the Brewers re-sign Moose, then re-sign Miley, and trade Davies and sign Harrison from the Pirates. Well, none of that happened.
Yeah.
And the only Brewer interesting thing of note was that Yelich and Moose and Braun played a baseball game with Charlie Sheen and Adam Sandler yesterday in California to raise money for a shooting that occurred out there last year, as well as the wildfires.
Yeah, they played Malibu. Right on the Pepperdine University field there. And, I didn't see any highlights. Just saw the introduction line. I saw that on the news last night. But that was that. I mean, the only big baseball news over the weekend happened with the White Sox. They allegedly are offering him an $8 million or 8-year contract, which, the Brewer, I'm glad to get the guy out of the National League.
For Machado?
For Machado. Who did I say?
Nobody.
Oh, Machado. Yeah, Manny Machado. And then that's really been it.
Well, the Kyler Murray situation's interesting.
With Oakland, yeah. Yeah, that's somewhat interesting. But
What makes it the most interesting for Kyler Murray, who wins the Heisman? He was drafted by the A's, and they gave him a bonus, and they said, you want to still play football? You can. Which I think was weird in the first place. How does football let you get drafted by Major League Baseball when they don't let you, even take a pair of shoes they don't let you sign. I don't get NCAA. I don't get how that happened. How does the NCAA not let a kid even get a free soda from a booster, but he can sign with Major League Baseball? You know what I'm saying?
I think with getting the free soda from the booster, because the soda eventually becomes a pair of pants, eventually becomes a $200 loan, and then a $500 loan.
But he gets a $4.6 million signing bonus with the A's.
Yes, but he's not. But it's not him getting a signing bonus with the A's is not. It's not benefiting the university he went to.
But there's a lot of college kids throughout all sports that lose their eligibility if they do anything professional in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that okay? I never understood that part.
I don't see. I never could understand why you couldn't sign with an agent.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Yeah, so.
But the interesting thing with Kyler Murray is that if he does go play baseball, he would be with the A's organization, and there's single A teams in Beloit.
Mm-hmm. Which used to be the Brewers' farm team until they decided the smart thing to do was, they saw a little franchise up in Appleton that they should take over, and that's been pretty good. Haven't seen a lot of two sport guys. We were talking on Friday about Deion Sanders, but I think Dave Winfield, the old Dave Winfield, I think he was a three sport guy. I think he was drafted by all three sports. But Kyler Murray, I would love to see him play football to see how that's going to work out in the NFL. Because I think that guy just. The few times I've seen him, we don't see a lot of Big 12 football. Just a few times watching him, it's like, man, what a thrilling player to watch.
Well, we've never seen him play baseball. Either.
No, football.
Right, but we've never seen him play baseball.
No. And who knows how he is as a baseball
player. So Russell I don't know Wilson. How we're supposed to compare these people.
Russell Wilson was drafted, too.
Yeah, he was drafted. He's played with the Rangers a bunch in spring training. And this year it was announced, because I believe he got traded. So he's with the Yankees now.
Yeah.
So he's going to be able to. Do spring training with the Yankees. Let's get some clarity on this. Dave's in Bayview, 799-1250. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Hey, there was a ruling that came out after, if you remember years ago, there was that downhill skier, Johnny Mosley.
Yeah, I do remember the name.
He also returned kicks for, like, Colorado.
Okay, yeah, and, sure.
And they had a ruling on that after because he could either do the kicks or for not do the Olympics. So then they came out with the whole idea of you can be compensated in a sport that you're not getting a scholarship for.
So that would apply to Kyler Murray.
Yeah, and that was the same thing with, like, Russell Wilson.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. He was drafted as well.
I can see that.
So, yeah. And I believe, too, it's they can be compensated, but they cannot have an agent.
Hmm.
Because then that gets into the whole fishing part of it.
Yeah.
Well, good. Hey, Dave, thanks for the lesson.
Yep, bye.
You did good work today. You can take the rest of the day off.
Yeah.
You've achieved your greatness
and,
for the day.
And so goes the NCAA.
Yeah. Who else wanted to see stuff happen this weekend? We're going back to our Twitter poll from Friday. I want to see Moose. I want to see the Admirals beat San Diego. I believe they lost.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Marcus Howard put up 50 again. He did not, but they won.
Yeah.
I want to see the Packers trade for Antonio Brown. That's what David said. That did not happen. I want to see the Cowboys get blown out by the Rams. No, that did not happen. But for the most part, the NFL, these games were... We had a pretty thrilling game yesterday afternoon.
That was it. Yesterday's game, the Saints game, that was the only one that was thrilling. I mean, the early game, you know, I mean, I'm all settled in to watch the first game yesterday, the Patriots game. And, you know, I mean, the score just kept on tumbling up there like a pinball machine. And by halftime, the game was over.
We'll talk more about that coming up, the NFL playoffs as a whole, and if you're sick of the Patriots or not. This is the eighth straight year that they're in the AFC mm-hmm. Championship game. I mean, that...
Yeah, I think some people might be beyond upset about that, but we could talk about that here in a little bit.
That is unheard of. They've made the AFC Championship game every year since the Packers made the Super
Bowl. Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Every single year.
And then
year.
Look how many times before that.
It's sickening.
Yeah.
And I'm a guy who... Well, we'll root for them at times.
Well, yeah, if we got some cash on it.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
that too. It's
but
Chuck
I mean,
and Winkler.
People keep doubting them every year, as I did on Sunday. Yeah. I thought, okay, the 4 points, the Chargers, come on. Obviously, they were begging us to take the Chargers. We fell for it.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Tom Brady thinks you think they suck. Is that true? We'll talk about the Patriots and the weekend that was. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
AFC Championship game, and it's a rematch against Kansas City. This time, though, in Arrowhead. What can we expect from that one?
It'll be a good game. They're a good team, and we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see. It'll be fun.
That's Tom Brady. Tracy Wolfson, CBS as well. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I don't know how it happened. A team that, by my count, if I have this right, will be in their 13th AFC Championship game in the last 18 seasons. They'll have now, they've won 10 straight division titles in the AFC East. They've had 9 years where they've gone and had a first-round bye in a row. That's the longest streak ever. And this will be their eighth straight conference championship. So they had five in the 2000 to 2010 decade, and now eight straight since 2011. And yet, Tom Brady, in a way, is right. Everybody is doubting the Patriots. Everybody is counting them out. There were a lot of people that did like the Chargers over the weekend. And the Patriots, once again, just go out there at home on that second Sunday or Saturday of January with the first round bye and just lay waste to a team. And the Patriots now, and typically, Chuck, I don't think that I might be hypocritical of myself because a lot of times people say, well, the college football playoffs, these games were boring. They picked the wrong teams. I don't always think that it's about us and our enjoyment. The best teams should be in the tournament. The best teams are going to win games. The best teams are going to go as far as they can go. I don't think it's more about those guys, and then we just are privy to watch. It's not about let's put together the best matchup that's going to have the best score so that I'm happy sitting on my couch eating chips all day. But when it comes to the Patriots, eight straight years is a little too much to
me. But the NFL has no control over these blowouts. You know, the three of the four games, people complain that these were bad games this weekend. Well, I mean, they can only, you know, these matchups, you know, they have no control over that. I mean, these teams earn the right. And as far as New England, for people who are complaining that they've been there for 8 years, somebody else has got to step up in the AFC. I mean, somebody's got to give them a run. Denver has tried. Pittsburgh has tried. But there's got to be a team that steps up and gives them a challenge. Otherwise, New England, you know, one of the weaker divisions in football. They've pretty much owned that for the last 15 years. But go ahead and beat them. I mean, for people who are complaining about them and winning it year after year, yeah. But still, they go out there and keep on winning. And if it was the Packers year after year after year, I'm sure people would be saying the same thing outside of the state. But that's, you know, the Packers have, like, they've owned the NFC North for the most part in the last 25 years. But until, you know, now teams have started to got better over the years, and, you know, like the Bears have and the Vikings have. And, you know, now the Packers have fallen back in the pack. Same with New England. I mean, look how many jobs Bill Belichick has cost in the AFC East. You know, teams have tried to knock his teams off over the years, and they can't do it. Year after year, the Patriots go on. So all I say is just some of those teams just got to get better.
Well, that's ultimately where it starts, too, is that AFC East. And, you know, not thrilled to ask the question, but are the Patriots good or bad for the NFL at this point? You guys can chime in 799-1250. But we're at that point where 8 straight AFC championship games, I don't think there's anybody outside of if you had money on them or outside of New England, really, yesterday that was rooting for New England, and certainly not to win in the fashion that they did. But it starts with that AFC East where you've got three teams in the Bills, the Jets, and Dolphins who have been trading assistants and trading coaches, and mm-hmm. Rex Ryan's coaching in half the division, and, you know, Todd Bowles is going from place to place, and it's just like these guys are – this is where it starts. They can't beat New England. New England does a very good job against all three of them. Typically will go 5-1 or, you know, 6-0 in the division each and every year, and it just – boost them right up to almost a guaranteed first-round bye every year. Not only are they winning the division, but they're getting first-round byes, so they don't have to play in wild-card weekend. They get another week to prepare. You saw it yesterday where Bill Belichick, and they talked about it a lot on the broadcast, sort of just threw his defensive playbook out the window and copied the Ravens because of how well it worked against the Chargers at times, and to give them looks that they weren't expecting from New England. And you have that extra week to prepare for that, year in and year out and year in and year out, and you get a home game with 2 weeks to prepare for a team coming in. In the Chargers' case, they went from L.A. to the East Coast and Baltimore, had to travel back home, come travel back for another noon start game Central time. It's such an advantage that they build up each and every season, and that's what puts them in the AFC Championship game 8 straight years mm-hmm. running.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at the teams they're competing against in the AFC East. Miami. Look how many coaches they've been through since Don Shula stepped out there. They've been, and even toward the end of Shula's reign. But there was a time when Miami used to rule this division. Buffalo in the 90s, okay, with Jim Kelly and the K-Gun offense. In the 90s, people were saying the same thing. Oh, here's Buffalo, again, going to the Super Bowl, going to lose again in the Super Bowl. And then along comes New England in 2001, and, you know, they've dominated since. The Jets have never really done much in this whole conference. They went to a couple of AFC title games and got beat, but, you know, when's the last time they've been to a Super Bowl? But New England, yeah. I mean, some of the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins, Bart, the coaches and the regimes that those three have gone through over the years trying to take down the Patriots, and they haven't been able to do it.
The most competitive that any of those teams have been in this run, I guess, was before the run started, when the Jets went to 2 AFC championship games in a row, including when they beat the Patriots in the divisional round mm-hmm. in 2010, the year that the Packers did go to the Super Bowl. That AFC championship game was Steelers over the Jets, and then that was the last time that the Patriots weren't in the AFC championship game. The last time the Patriots weren't in the AFC championship game was the year the Packers went to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. which, 'cause they've been in every single year. Now, sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. They've been to the Super Bowl a few times. They've won the Super Bowl a couple times since, twice. But they're in this AFC Championship game weekend, year in, and year out. And I think people are sick of seeing Brady, sick of seeing Belichick, sick of seeing Foxborough. So it will be in Kansas City this weekend, but you're sick of seeing these guys.
Jim Nantz broadcasting New England Patriots every week.
Bob Kraft up there
same
in the skybox.
With his tie
next
on.
To John Mellencamp.
Yep, same thing all the time. But I would say, okay, like when New England played Green Bay in the Super Bowl in 96, the Packers got all the attention down in New Orleans and across the country. New England, they had Drew Bledsoe, okay, and of course, Bill Parcells, their head coach, but all the attention was on the Green Bay Packers. I mean, the Patriots did not get the love really until Tom Brady and Belichick began their run back in 2001 or 2002, whenever it was. So, like again, you know, there's other teams in this conference that could have done something about it, and nobody has been able to take these guys down.
And it starts, like we said, with the division, because those three teams, you know, you have these other divisions throughout the league. Teams will rise up. Oh, the Panthers had a good year, or the Eagles had a good year, or Jacksonville had a good year. But in the AFC East, nobody is ever having a good year, at least not in this 8-year run for New England. Let's get out to Franklin, talk to John, 799-1250. What's up, Johnny? Good morning.
Hey, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I was talking to Cody about this. We got in over the weekend before this game, got in a conversation about the Patriots and Belichick, and I didn't realize this guy's been at it since 2000. And everything we said about all the excuses we gave McCarthy about, oh, you know, coach only has so long and the message gets stale. You say whatever you want. I'm no Patriots fan, but you say whatever the hell you want. These guys just find a way to do it. That game yesterday was non-competitive. Smoked them. There's no question they play in a weak division and they benefit for it, but it doesn't make a hill of beans difference when they get in a game with a good team. It's just remarkable what they're doing, and if you don't like it, beat them.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's what I say, you know, and same in my house yesterday. Everybody's saying in my house, oh, geez, the Patriots, they're mounting their lead. You know, oh, here they go, the Patriots again. Well, yeah, I hear you. But, you know, I think, too, the Patriots are a draw. When the Patriots are on TV, they draw. People want to see them get taken down. There are Patriots fans out there, but, you know, people want to see them lose.
Well, what happens is there's people that you watch. Sometimes you watch teams because you hate them, and you want them to lose.
Like the Yankees used to be.
Yeah, and I think the Patriots were there, but I think we're past that. I think we're getting into the point of, we're fatigued. Like, it's fun to root against the team, but they're always at this spot. So no longer is it, I'm going to watch and hate watch them and hope they lose. It's now to the point of, I don't care. I've seen this movie over and over. I've seen the Patriots beat the Ravens at home in divisional weekend. I've seen them beat the Jaguars in the championship game. I've seen them beat, you know, fill in the blank, the Chargers multiple times in the playoffs. I've seen this before. I'm not intrigued, and I don't think there's anything the NFL should do about it. I just am pointing out that it's fatiguing.
Yeah, and that run, it's going to eventually come to an end. It's going to, when Belichick leaves, when he leaves, when that ever happens.
We say that, but they looked as good as ever yesterday.
I know. I hear you. But it's someday it's going to end, or, you know, maybe not, but I think eventually, I mean, Tom Brady can't play forever. Bill Belichick's not going to coach until he's 80. There's other teams, again, have opportunities there. But that's just how sad that AFC East is, too, how nobody can give them a run. Miami, I mean, every once in a while, can Miami at least show some life and get into the postseason? Not at all. Buffalo? God, how dormant they've been. And the New York Jets, except for the run we just talked about here a little, you know, going to this back-to-back AFC title games with Mark Sanchez. I mean, they're most of their franchise, they've been a disappointment.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll talk more about the NFL divisional round weekend coming up, including a former Packer that had a big impact in one of these games yesterday. Just another reason why the Packers' Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy era was beginning to falter towards the end. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Forsstead.
It's a fake.
Settles at his 16. The Saints are going to fake it up the middle, and they're going to have enough for a first down. And what a call, Taysom Hill.
Saints Radio Network, more Taysom Hill, the guy you've seen on kickoff coverage, the guy you've seen at quarterback, the guy you've seen run the football, the guy you've seen convert fake punts. He's been doing it all for the New Orleans Saints, and he was a guy that was initially signed out of BYU with the Green Bay Packers. They couldn't find a spot for him. And Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints definitely could. They're winners as well this weekend. The Rams are moving on. The Chiefs are moving on. The Patriots are moving on. And the Saints, in a game that was as close as any this weekend, they move on by a score of 20-14. And Taysom Hill in this game, again, the former Packer. And yes, we are going to talk a little bit about a former Packer, third, maybe even fourth string quarterback, because they couldn't find the talent that Sean Payton saw. Taysom Hill yesterday not only converted the fake punt, there was a play that didn't count because of a holding, but he lined up as quarterback, and he threw maybe the best ball of the entire weekend to Alvin Kamara for a touchdown. It was called back because of the holding, but it's just another example of how every time I watch Taysom Hill, I think this, and this happens every single time that I watch Taysom Hill, Chuck. I watch Taysom Hill be used by the Saints, and I think, come on. This is the Packers let this guy go. If you have a guy that's talented, you find room for him. And so I tweet that out, and then the responses are, do you think the Packers would have ever used him in the way that the Saints are? They might not have, and that's also the problem.
Well, that's why Mike McCarthy didn't keep him, because Mike didn't want to think out of the box like Sean Payton did. And, you know, Sean Payton saw an athlete here, and wow, this is a guy who, you know, we could use in a couple of different ways. They got Drew Brees, yet they're finding a way to get this guy involved and making the defense think a little bit. McCarthy didn't see that, obviously. Sean Payton did. McCarthy didn't. You know, and the Packers, with Ted Thompson over the years, they talk about, oh, we just want to draft football players. We want to draft football players. He's a good football player. Well, obviously, they didn't see Taysom Hill as being a football player and find a guy who's a terrific athlete. Maybe we could find a way to use this guy somehow. Yeah, the Bucks didn't think out of the box. The Packers, Bart, didn't think out of the box there, unlike what Sean Payton did, and kind of makes the Packers look foolish, because it's like, man, Payton took him on, and you know, he may not be starting this guy, but he's finding him different ways to help them win a football game.
Taysom Hill's stats for the year, if in 20 years you look back at his football card, you look and say, who is this guy? He threw 7 passes for 64 yards, actually threw an interception. He ran the ball 37 times for 200 yards and had 2 touchdowns. All right, well, what's the big deal about this guy? The big deal is that he gives defenses a different look.
Sure, and look how many times he's on the field where he might be not be making a play, and Bart, he doesn't have some of the stats there, but other guys are getting numbers because he's on the field.
Right. Sometimes just being a decoy. The Chargers had a great 2-point conversion where Melvin Ingram,
yeah,
or was that a touchdown? Either way, he was in, the defender was in on offense as a decoy, and the Bears tried to do that with Khalil Mack. And sometimes, you know, having a decoy is good too, but he's a decoy because you do know how talented he is, and Taysom Hill has proven to be talented for the Saints. And it's not just, you know, as a second quarterback on the field. It's as a guy on special teams. I mean, he is a gunner on punt return coverage. All right. He had the fake punt yesterday. It shows, it's a good example to me of how stale and maybe the unwillingness to be creative. The Packers had this guy who they could have done stuff with. And I don't know if they never thought that he could do this, or I don't know, even worse, if they had the thought and said, nah, we don't want to do that. Remember, this is a team that didn't run a jet sweep, which the entire league was doing with wide receivers. They didn't run a jet sweep until like week 11. Them and the Steelers were the last teams to do so. McCarthy got very stagnant and very set in his ways about how he wanted the offense to run, and they stopped doing anything that would give defenses, you know, different looks. I think that in today's NFL, it's all about not letting the defense know what you're going to do, not letting them see you stand there, line up, and have 20, 25 seconds as you take the play clock down to 0 to figure out what they want to do. You got to run guys around. You got to have guys in motion. And it helps when you have guys like Tyreek Hill that can do that, or a Taysom Hill or whoever. Tyreek Hill, because of the Chiefs and him moving around, what a distraction he can be. So pretty much anyone named Hill is what I need the Packers
well,
to get.
I mean, with Taysom Hill, what they did, they probably could have thought this too. Okay, when they were keeping guys on the training camp, after training camp, when they're cutting guys, they probably said, okay, are we going to keep this guy or are we going to keep somebody else for that 53rd
spot? I'd love
spot?
To know who the 53rd guy
yeah.
was.
I mean, it could have been that, or they, like you know, we said there, it could have been, well, they never thought of a use for him. Well, they just, or maybe they just looked at him as a quarterback and then think, okay, we could run this guy down by the goal line and be a decoy or do a few different things, which teams are around the league are doing. So, whatever the case was, they let a talented football player, again, he's not going to help them win the Super Bowl. I mean, he wouldn't help them win the Super Bowl this past year, but he would have helped them in a few different ways. The other way about doing it is this. He could have thought, too, boy, do I want to take Aaron Rodgers off the field at all and run some wildcat with this guy? Am I hurting myself because I'm taking or hurting our team by taking Rodgers off the field? Well, hasn't hurt the Saints by taking Drew Brees off the field from time to time.
Right, that's a popular response when I start talking about Taysom Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Rodgers would have never allowed this to happen, or McCarthy would have never taken Rodgers off the field. But if Drew Brees can buy in...
Mm-hmm.
Why can't Rodgers? And if Rodgers can't buy into this, well, then that's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, but either way, the Packers let a talented guy go down who could have helped them. Could have helped them in a few different ways. Let a talented guy walk. Disappointing. Disappointing.
Yeah, every time I see him,
I do.
I get like more mad.
I do too.
About this era. Tavern Sports tweets in, guys, we had the same guy in Randall Cobb. He played quarterback when he got to college. He played on special teams also. We just didn't know how to use him. He also played running back a few years back when McCarthy was experimenting at that position. We go back a lot to that game against New England. I think it was 2014, where all of a sudden McCarthy was running Randall Cobb out of the backfield, and he out-Belichicked Belichick, and we're like, oh, my God, McCarthy's the best coach in the league.
Yeah.
He took a wide receiver and made him a running
back.
I'm
a highly successful NFL head coach.
We were saying that for you back then.
And then 6 weeks later came the NFC Championship game against Seattle and then began his downhill slide.
And our first reference to that today.
His pinnacle probably was that New England game. I mean, the last time we ever hurled any brilliant remarks toward him.
Yeah.
And then it was all, then you know, obviously tumbled after that. But yeah, Taysom Hill, that's just the, maybe you look at the him functioning down there. But that's on Ted Thompson, too. Ted's responsible for the roster. And Ted was okay leaving this guy walk and, didn't see enough to tell him and McCarthy together that we could maybe use this guy. He saw him every day in training camp, didn't see how great of an athlete he was. Decided to keep somebody else.
Just after 7 o'clock, as we know, that era is over. The McCarthy-Thompson era is over. It's the Gutekunst-LaFleur era. But the LaFleur era, at least initially, is causing some concern from a lot of people as they see assistant coaches scooped up all over the league except in Green Bay. We'll talk about that with you guys just after 7 o'clock and your first chance today to win $1,000. Want to talk some Bucks? As the Bucks continue to go up in the standings, their former home goes down. We'll talk some Bucks basketball with you guys next. Chuck and Winkler, 799-1250 here on The Fan.
Activity on the ball, trying to disrupt, handoffs and DHOs and things like that and pick and rolls. Hopefully created some of those turnovers. And Ersan taking charges always, adds it and creates uncertainty for the other team. So, together they did a great job of creating turnovers.
Coach Bud, after the Bucks get the victory yesterday afternoon in Atlanta, 133-114, they are now 12-0 after a loss. They did lose Friday night to the Wizards on the road as well, 113-106. Wizards were kind of in control of that one early. Bucks did their best to stay in it. Wizards pulled away then at the end. The Bucks didn't have Giannis, which, the Bucks aren't the Bucks at this point without the Greek Freak. I did think I'd hear more concern and panic that the Bucks lost to a bad team on the road, but you did not have Giannis. And the Wizards have been playing almost better without John Wall They had a good game yesterday. They took Toronto to double OT, just lost by two. They've beaten the Sixers as of late. They've beaten the Thunder, and they, of course, beat Milwaukee. So they've been playing better. I thought I'd see a little more panic and freak out from the Bucks faithful. I did not. And I think a lot of that is because, Chuck, they didn't have Giannis. We already know if the Bucks didn't have Giannis, they'd be in trouble. So when we're reminded of that, I don't think there's too much concern or panic. What I think it does, if anything, is just kind of re-highlights the fact that this guy should be the MVP in this league.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, like I said earlier, it's like the Packers losing Aaron Rodgers. But, I mean, then they went out last night and flattened Atlanta. You go to, even if they would have had Giannis and they came back for all three of these games on this road trip, Bart, and they came back winning two or three, hey, winning 67% on the road on a three-game road trip, I'd take that every day. I'll take that every day. That's a terrific winning percentage. You know, they're, I think, a game and a half behind Toronto. Like, Toronto's played a few more games than them in the standings. So, yeah, the Bucks. So now they come home and they play Miami, but the Bucks have more road games coming up this month.
We'll talk to Frank Madden, formerly of Brew Hoop, the founder there, and then on the Locked On Bucks podcast, does that alongside Eric Name, who we have on the show frequently. He did a – you ever go on Reddit frames?
Yeah.
You ever go on Reddit?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He did an Ask Me Anything on Reddit over the weekend. And so people just ask him Bucks questions, and we'll ask him some of the same kind of questions today at 8 o'clock. And he kept getting a lot of questions about Chris Middleton and how much he thinks he'll end up getting. And I think Frank does seem to think he'll get close to 30 by somebody. And it's not because he necessarily deserves $30 million. Mm-hmm. It's because that teams are going to need to get a guy like that, and it's almost going to be you're almost competing against the fact that there's nobody else to fill that role for you. So if Chris Middleton has a good rest of the season and has a good playoffs, he'll command some good money, and so will Bledsoe, and so will Lopez, which makes this season so interesting, is that you've got all these guys playing well together, and you've got what really could be a good core, a team that could play well together for years to come. Problem is, outside of Giannis and a couple of contracts that aren't so attractive, you've got a lot of guys that possibly could not be here next year.
Brook Lopez, we'll see. He's on a one-year deal. I mean, he's been such a big part of this team. They got him for a really cheap price. Ain't getting Brook Lopez for $3 million next year.
No.
If he comes back. Yeah, they got some questions. But long-term, they got some questions to answer, including, you know, the big man himself, if he's going to be here beyond the other 2 years, hopefully. I think the way the season is going right now, is Middleton going to be replaced somewhere down the line as that number two or three cog in his offense? You know, we'll have to see. But, I mean, as of right now, I mean, what more could you ask for from the way they're playing? I mean, they're going out there and winning games. They'll have an occasional letdown. When you could think off the top of your head the times that they've had poor performances this year and maybe, you know, count on one hand, that's having a terrific season. They're off to their best start since 1981. That says a lot. I mean, of course, they've had a lot of bad years, but they've also had a lot of good years in the 80s and 70s. This is one of their best starts in franchise history.
But you do want to see it paid off. You want to see it paid off with a deep playoff run, possibly even a trip to the finals. So is this team doing enough to do that? A game like Friday night when you don't have Giannis, you look for a guy to step up. And I think the first guy you look to step up is Chris Middleton, who on Friday night had 25 points, about 50% shooting. He was 3-9 from distance. But I think what a lot of people would like to see is him take over the game when Giannis is down. If Giannis is out, Chris Middleton rises up to this level. Not like a Giannis level, of course. Giannis is a special player, but at least for one night, take over the game in a way that Bradley Beal can take over the game, maybe for the Wizards. Middleton he doesn't seem capable of doing that.
No, not at all. And with Giannis, you're going to miss, 12 to 15 rebounds out of that game that Middleton can't haul in. So there's not only scoring and...
You're going to miss Giannis's defense.
His defense.
He's underrated as a passer.
His length. Yeah, his passing. I mean, there's so many parts of his game that you're going to miss that is irreplaceable. And nobody else on that team can step up and add what he adds to the game. It's, yeah, there's a huge drop-off from Giannis, who makes everybody else better on that team, and that's why he's the MVP. You're going to be the MVP, should be the MVP, and Middleton's not capable of putting a team on his back on the road and carrying them to a game at Washington.
Maybe the bigger Bucks news this weekend is that their old home came down.
Yeah.
The Bradley Center, which I put on Twitter yesterday. I said, my favorite Bradley Center memory is how we've been asking each other for our favorite Bradley Center memory for 3+ years, making fun of the situation that we've been doing this over and over again. And then people started responding with their favorite Bradley Center memories. Well, we've already done this a million times.
And I was watching ESPN yesterday, and Hannah Storm goes, as they showed the implosion, so many great moments in that building for the Milwaukee Bucks. And I'm like, what? So many great moments. And I thought about what we've done in the past. Yeah, we have done that a lot. And then I put on Twitter about Hannah, and of course people are coming at me, oh, there are a lot of great moments that happened in the Bradley Center. I would say, come on. This is sometimes why I don't like to read the notifications, because people come at you, oh, that's more than just having great moments. If it wasn't for the Pettits donating the Bradley Center, you know, the Bucks would never be here. I get all that. Yes, I get it. And quit calling me names, because I'm not going to respond to you. So knock it off.
You're just going to shame them on your radio show next day.
But I'm not calling them by names. I mean, if I would be if I could remember their names, but come on.
I'll pull up the tweets. I'll respond to these people.
That's what they're looking for.
I mean, people had good memories there. I had a lot of good memories in the Bradley Center, but how many good true moments were there for the Milwaukee Bucks? If that's what you're saying, then.
No.
I mean, there was nothing.
No, it's not memorable.
Right. There's nothing special that really happened there outside of one run to the Eastern Conference Finals.
No. I took my first Marquette game in the Pfizer Forum on Saturday, and I'll tell you, man, there was on a Saturday afternoon, could barely find a couple of seats together.
Did you sit with the kids?
No, we couldn't get two more student section tickets, so we were up in 213.
Okay, good view still.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, we've talked about it's, you know, sitting in the end zone is different from sitting in the end zone at the Bradley Center. You actually feel a part of it. But we ended up going back over to the Panoramic Club.
Oh, your place.
I love going up there. We went there for the second half.
I'm going to name that after you.
I like it up there, yes.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll talk more Bucks, more Bradley Center, of course, throughout the show. The Green Bay Packers not in action this weekend, not just on the football field, but really in the news. As a lot of candidates that they could bring on the Matt LaFleur staff are leaving to other places or not coming to Green Bay at all. Your concern level. We'll talk about that next on The Fan.